Welcome to the show. Today we're unpacking a simple but high-impact question. When should a model store facts in its weights versus rely on retrieval at inference time? The paper we're focusing on is To Memorize or To Retrieve: Scaling Laws for RAG-Considerate Pre-Training. This matters to product teams, researchers, and users because it affects cost, latency, model accuracy, and how fresh the answers are. In short, whether you pay upfront in pre-training or keep an online retrieval system running. Two quick framing questions to set the agenda. First, when exactly should models store facts versus defer to retrieval? And second, how should teams weigh model size and pre-training compute against retrieval infrastructure and its operational costs?
At a high level, the paper derives empirical scaling laws that quantify that trade-off. The authors run controlled experiments across model sizes, retrieval budgets, and dataset composition to measure how much utility comes from memorized parameters versus retrieved context. Their main claim is that there are distinct regimes. For common, static knowledge, increasing model size can be more efficient, but for long-tail, dynamic, or frequently updated content, retrieval scales better. And the optimal pre-training strategy shifts depending on the retrieval budget and the composition of pre-training data. They evaluate this with metrics comparing model performance with and without retrieval and show where the marginal benefit of extra parameters is outpaced by adding retrieval capacity. Think of it like deciding whether to buy more shelves to store books or invest in a better indexing and delivery system for a library.
Mark, on the engineering side, that framing is immediately useful. Imagine a customer support assistant. You might memorize stable corporate policies or legal boilerplate that rarely changes because that lowers latency and simplifies infra. But product specs, release notes, and region-specific pricing should live in a retrievable KB so they stay fresh. The paper's findings help you decide where to draw the line. If your SLA is tight and the content is static, favor memorization. If freshness and auditability matter, invest in retrieval and smaller models. Practically, that also informs fallback strategies. If retrieval fails, fall back to a memorized, concise answer rather than hallucination.
Great, that gives us a clear map for the rest of the episode. We'll next dig into the experiments and the specific scaling law numbers that guide those engineering choices. Okay, let's dive into the technical core. First, a quick recap for listeners. What exactly do we mean by RAG and the usual pre-training objective? Jamie, can you set the baseline and the prior assumptions about scaling?
Sure. RAG, retrieval augmented generation, means the model conditions on external documents fetched at inference time, rather than relying only on its internal weights. Standard pre-training uses next token prediction across large corpora, so the model gradually stores statistical patterns and facts in parameters. Prior scaling assumptions suggested larger models just memorize more useful facts, but RAG changes the calculus. You can offload some knowledge to an index, which shifts how useful extra parameters are.
Good framing. How did the authors measure the balance between memorization and retrieval utility in the paper?
They ran controlled experiments varying three levers: model size, retrieval budget, and dataset composition. Retrieval budget is how much context you provide at inference, number of retrieved documents or tokens. Dataset composition controls how much of the pre-training content is static versus dynamic or long tail. Metrics were performance deltas, how much adding retrieval improves outputs for a fixed model, and conversely, how much increasing model size helps when retrieval is fixed. They also measured marginal utility curves to find crossover points where adding retrieval becomes cheaper or more effective than adding parameters. Analogously, it's like testing whether buying more shelves, parameters, or improving the library's indexing and courier service retrieval gives faster access to books.
To translate that, retrieval budget shows up in infra as how many documents you fetch, the size and sharding of the vector index, and the compute to score neighbors. Higher budgets reduce model-side hallucinations but increase latency and query cost. So when the paper says retrieval budget helps, engineers read that as be ready for larger indices, more RAM, and heavier I/O. Summary: retrieval buys freshness and less model bloat, but it taxes runtime systems.
Exactly. The key scaling law observations are threefold. One, there are regimes. For very common static facts, think common API semantics, model scale yields good returns. 2, for dynamic or long-tail data, retrieval yields steeper gains per unit resource. 3, the crossover depends on dataset mix and retrieval budget. With a generous retrieval budget, smaller models can match larger ones on tasks needing fresh or rare facts. So the marginal benefit of parameters flattens earlier when you have decent retrieval.
So what breaks first in a production setup, the index, the model, or the latency SLA? Which is the most fragile component?
It depends on the workload. For high throughput, low latency SLAs, the retrieval layer is often the first to pressure out. Network hops, vector scoring, and cold cache misses add latency. If the index is stale, correctness breaks. If retrieval is noisy or incomplete, the model might hallucinate, and that's a second failure mode. The model itself is resilient once trained, but it can't correct for missing or wrong retrievals. Summary: retrieval infra and freshness usually fail first. The model fails silently through hallucination next.
I'd add a nuance. Large models can sometimes compress surprisingly rare facts. So in some cases, memorization outperforms a poor retrieval stack. The paper shows that when retrieval is noisy or the index has coverage gaps, increasing model parameters can be preferable. But that comes at steep pre-training cost and is brittle for rapidly changing facts. Summary: memorization beats retrieval only when retrieval quality or budget is constrained.
Those constraints matter in cost accounting. Pre-training a bigger model is an expensive upfront capital cost, months of GPU hours, but it's one time. Retrieval costs are operational: storage, CPU, GPU for indexing, replication, and per query costs. You also pay latency penalties that may force larger instance footprints. Failure modes: a noisy retrieval can cascade into confident but wrong answers. A pragmatic rule is to budget for worst-case query volume and prefer simpler memorization only for immutable high SLA items. Summary: upfront versus ongoing cost trade-off.
How should teams decide resource allocation then? Give us a practical checklist or decision flow.
Checklist: 1. Classify knowledge by volatility: static, infrequently updated, frequently updated. 2. Check SLA and latency tolerance: sub 100 millisecond, needs push memorization for the hottest items. 3. Auditability and compliance: if you must trace sources, prefer retrieval. 4. Cost model: compare amortized pre-training cost per useful fact versus expected retrieval infra and query cost. 5. Plan fallbacks: if retrieval fails, serve a short memorized fallback or degrade gracefully. Summary: classify content, model SLA and audit needs, run cost comparisons, and design fallbacks.
From a research perspective, a few caveats. The experiments rely on synthetic splits of static versus dynamic content. Real-world distributions can be messier. Also, retrieval usefulness varies with index quality and retriever architecture. Dense versus sparse methods behave differently. The paper suggests follow-ups: measure marginal gains per parameter across real product logs, test hybrid training where models are pre-exposed to retrieval contexts during pre-training, and refine metrics that quantify retrieval utility beyond just accuracy, e.g. marginal performance per retrieved token. Summary: treat the scaling laws as guidance, not immutable rules. Test on your data.
One more concrete example: legal clauses versus personalized recommendations. Which approach favors memorization and which prefers retrieval?
Legal clauses: if they're stable and you need fast deterministic answers, memorize them or cache verified snippets. Personalized recommendations rely on user-specific signals and freshness. Retrieval of a user profile or recent interactions is essential. If you try to memorize personalization, you'll bloat the model and still lag behind freshness. Summary: static, audited text, memorize; personalized or dynamic, retrieve.
And for hallucination mitigation, retrieval helps because it provides grounded context the model can cite. The paper shows that grounding reduces incorrect fabrications, but only if the retriever surfaces relevant passages. So invest in retriever quality and re-ranking. Otherwise, grounding is ineffective. Summary: retrieval reduces hallucination when retrieval is accurate. Retriever quality is the gating factor.
Great. To close this segment, can each of you give a one-sentence summary of the core technical takeaway from this paper?
The core takeaway: empirical scaling laws show there's a tunable trade-off. With sufficient retrieval budget, smaller models can match larger ones for dynamic or rare facts, while memorization remains efficient for common static knowledge.
From engineering: plan for hybrid systems. Memorize the immutable and latency critical. retrieve the fresh and personalized, and budget operationally for index quality because retrieval failures drive most real-world errors.
Let's synthesize this into actionable takeaways. First, classify content by volatility. Memorize truly static, latency-critical facts. Retrieve dynamic, personalized, or frequently updated content. Second, prefer a hybrid. Memorize a small hot set for SLAs and use retrieval for the long tail. Third, monitor three signals closely: retrieval hit rate and relevance, model hallucination rate, and staleness of index documents. Fourth, always budget for both upfront pre-training cost and ongoing retrieval ops, and design fallbacks when the retriever fails.
Practically, here's a checklist engineers can use. 1. Tag knowledge by volatility and compliance needs. 2. Measure latency SLAs and identify the hot set to memorize. 3. Size your index and retrieval budget to expected QPS and worst-case peaks. 4. Instrument retrieval quality, hits, re-ranks, and top K relevance. 5. Implement a short memorized fallback and runtime gating to avoid confident hallucinations. 6. Run cost comparisons. Amortized pre-training cost per fact versus expected per query retrieval cost.
From the research side, a few caveats. The paper splits are controlled and may not mirror messy real product distributions. Different retriever architectures, sparse versus dense, learned re-rankers, shift the crossover points. Also, we need better cost models that combine compute, storage, and human evaluation costs. Finally, modalities and architectures that tightly integrate retrieval during pre-training could change these scaling laws, so treat the observed curves as conditional on current methods.
Good points. On monitoring, what specific metrics and alerts should teams build to detect when their choice is failing? For example, when memorization is causing drift or when retrieval is degrading.
Build these metrics: retrieval coverage, percent of queries with relevant hits, re-ranker precision at K, hallucination rate measured via automated checks and spot human labeling, response latency P50-P95, index staleness, age of top documents, and per query cost. Create alerts on sudden drops in coverage or spikes in hallucination or latency. Correlate errors with recent index updates to pinpoint staleness or retriever regressions.
For experiments and A/B tests, randomize traffic across conditions like larger model versus retrieval-heavy stack, and measure not just accuracy, but marginal utility per dollar, performance gain divided by incremental cost. Also, test hybrid pre-training, where models see retrieved context during training, and measure generalization on long-tail facts. Important metrics: marginal performance per retrieved token, and percent of queries benefiting from retrieval versus memorization.
How should a product team run an A/B safely? Small canary, staged rollout, and what success criteria should they track beyond accuracy?
Start with a small percent of traffic, instrument end-to-end, latency, error rate, user satisfaction or task completion, and cost per successful transaction. Use an error budget and rollback criteria tied to latency and hallucination thresholds. Run longer windows to capture index staleness effects, and include a manual review of borderline failures. Finally, include cost metrics so you can assess ROI, not just raw accuracy.
Research priorities going forward: better retriever evaluation that predicts downstream usefulness, studying hybrid pre-training strategies, and testing these scaling laws on multimodal tasks or architectures that fuse retrieval more tightly. Also, more realistic benchmarks that reflect business distributions and long-term maintenance costs would help bridge paper results to production decisions. Final quick thought from me: treat the paper as a practical lens. It gives measurable trade-offs and suggests hybrid designs. But validate on your own data, because distributional quirks and retriever quality can flip the recommended approach.
My closing take: plan for hybrid systems operationally. Memorize the tiny critical surface for latency and auditability. Retrieve the rest and invest in robust monitoring and fallbacks. That's where most production reliability gains come from.
To finish, a quick reminder: the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.